would maybe be going through something and be reminded of those even in Jersey or New York. And just simply thinking about friendships might encourage us in the faith. It's not a walk that we are to do alone. We definitely need each other. So I appreciate very much being able to come and hang out and share my family with you. As we read today in Matthew 16, I'm always amazed at the way the disciples interact throughout the Gospels. Many of us would look at them, and if you're like me, you a lot of times go, man, did you really just say that? Or did you really just do that? You just saw this miracle, you just saw this miracle, and that was your reaction? And yet, when you look at your own life, you see exactly why they acted the way they do. Because for too many times, we act the exact same way. And so, this was just a passage that was near and dear to my heart that I'd love to share with you. What happened is, Jesus has just done the miracle of feeding the 4,000. And right afterwards, the Pharisees come and they want to trick him or test him. And he answers that great, as he always does. And then he tells his disciples, listen, beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they, like typical people like us, say, man, we must have forgot some bread. Totally missing the point. And so that's what I want to look at today. Three things that they should have been doing that Jesus discussed. They should have been perceiving more. They should have been understanding more. They should have been remembering more. And then maybe they wouldn't be thinking about the bread. And maybe they'd be thinking about the spiritual nature of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So let's look to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we again thank you for another time around your word. We thank you so much that for some reason you have chosen us to carry out your word. Lord, you have given us this ministry of reconciliation. Oh Lord, so many times it seems like it would have been better if you did it a different way and not trust us with such precious things. But we know that you are faithful and true, and your wisdom is not like us. And so we pray that we will be worthy of our calling. We pray that we would give you the honor and glory you so richly deserve. We thank you so much again, Lord, that you fix everything one day. That regardless of what happens down here and even the lies we might live, that you will complete our sanctification for those who have put their faith and trust in you. And so how can we not worship you for it? We thank you that you desire to be with us, that you remember our frame, and that you are faithful even when we are not, for you cannot go against your character. Oh Lord, there's so many good things to say about you. Bless our time. May our love for one another increase. May you again bless this assembly. May it grow numerically and spiritually. May the people that come here through these doors just have a desire to want to get to know you more, to love you more, and to obey you more. In your name, amen. Then we read here in Matthew 16, as we read today, the Pharisees are going before the Lord. And they say, listen, we want a sign. Now, it's interesting to me that we just had a feeding of the 4,000. But, of course, they need another sign. And I have found early on in my life that those always seeking for a sign always want one more. That usually, even if you give them the sign, it really doesn't matter. They always want one more. Because their heart is not in a place where they're ready to believe anyway. But as the Lord says here, he talks about, remember we heard this phrase, I think it's, sky's red at night, sailor's delight. Sky's red in the morning, sailor's warning. It's a very, scientific-based thing. You can kind of determine the weather by that. And he's saying to them, listen, if you're smart enough to observe the weather and make conclusions, but you cannot observe the miracles that are going on, and understand who I am. And you keep asking for a sign. What's going on? And I thought it's very interesting that we as believers need to make sure that we are constantly observing. That we are constantly observing. In my own life, I am constantly observing people in my stage of life, but more older people in my life. Because I want to see if this faith actually works. And quite honestly, that's what I want. I want to see, and especially as our young people grow up, that's a lot, what a lot of people want to see. Does it work? I know the intellectual answer of I should give my life to the Lord. But sometimes I want to see if it works. And so that has been very good for me in my life. When I can honestly look at someone who has given their lives to the Lord, and I can look at their lifestyle, and I can see what God has done with their life, and then I can see the Christian who says their life is of the Lord, but has not necessarily lived it out. And then I can look at the non-Christian. And when you honestly take a good look at all three, it's very simple. He's worth it. He's worth it. He deserves our lives. He deserves our will. And there's many things in life we observe, and sometimes we don't want to observe the simple, mature believers in our lives and say, man, I wish I had that kind of life. And we somehow think, I don't know how that happened. That must just be between them and the Lord, the life they got. Well, it's from following the Lord and His principles and His ways. So I would encourage us with that. But I wanted to get here to verse 5 in Matthew 16, where Jesus now is with His disciples. It says, now His disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now again, the disciples' reaction is, man, we forgot bread. Now isn't that interesting? Because He just took a little bit of bread and some fish and fed 4,000 plus people with it. And it seems like in maybe one 24-hour period, they're back to worrying about physical bread. Going, man, we need some, what is going on? Missing the whole miracle that just happened in their lives. He's telling them, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In Luke chapter 12, verse 1, I love when the Bible explains the Bible. It tells you exactly what the leaven of the Pharisees was. Let me read that verse. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they trampled one another, He began to say to His disciples, first of all, beware of the Pharisees, of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy seems to almost be a buzzword now in the church. Christians are hypocrites. And Jesus back here warned, don't be hypocrites. Don't be hypocrites. Remember, the word here is kind of like putting on the mask. Remember when they used to do those plays and they would put on a mask or they would take on another identity? And that's where you get the word hypocrite from. You put on a mask and you became someone else. There was a story of a man who was tough economic times, almost like we're in now, and he lost his job. And the only job that was available, he actually had a friend who was working at a zoo. And he said, you know what? We've had some problems. And you know what we really need? Our gorilla is gone. We need someone to put a gorilla suit on. Just kind of sit in the cage. The guy really didn't want to do it. But hey, when times are tough. And he needed to make some money. He goes, all right. So he getting a gorilla suit. He went to the zoo. Well, even if the money is good, you're not just going to sit all day. So eventually he'd see the people coming up and he goes, hey, why don't I kind of give them a show? So he'd start acting like a gorilla, maybe running around, swinging. And it got to the point after he'd worked there a few times where, hey, let's just put on a great show for the people, right? Why not? I'm getting paid. And he'd actually try to jump on the trees and things like that that were in this cage. And he's swinging around and suddenly during one of these times he falls off the tree, and of course, the pit next to him was the lion's pit. So at this point, he's screaming, hey, I'm not a gorilla. Someone better get in here. I don't want, and he sees the lion coming towards him. And he is screaming at the top of his lungs, saying, hey, someone better save me. I'm no gorilla. And the lion jumps on top of him and says, hey, shut up, or I'll lose my job too. So It is kind of like a funny story. But you know what's not funny is how many of us can actually put on a mask, be hypocritical, and we act like no one knows the difference. Like we're actually faking people. People can know right off the bat. You call yourself a Christian, you say, I love the Lord Jesus, and all they're going to do is look at your life and say, let me see what's if you really do or not. And it's amazing the mind games we can play with each other. And the Lord is telling them, watch out for hypocrisy. Don't be like these Pharisees. And we know so many of our stories from the Gospels of the Pharisees, how they cared more about their jobs and their positions than the actual people. To it got to the point where the one they were supposed to be looking for, the Messiah, is in front of them doing miracles. And they miss the picture. They miss it. And we would be a people that would be wise to say how that we would relate with Pharisees instead. And say, you know what? If they missed it, if the disciples missed it, we better be on guard. We better be on guard. There's also the leaven of the Sadducees. The Sadducees are those ones that could not believe in the resurrection of the dead. The leaven of the Sadducees was, if it doesn't make sense intellectually, I won't believe it. They were rational in their thinking. You know what's interesting is sometimes we got to realize, and I want to say this carefully, I know this is my first time coming, but there is an irrational part to our faith. We talk about that the wisdom of God is foolishness to the world, and the wisdom of us is foolishness to God. Our faith does not necessarily make sense. Why would an all-powerful God come down and be born in a manger and then live a, quote, normal life for almost 30 years? And then his plan was to die at the hand of those who he created. That doesn't make rational sense. So we need to be very careful in life when we are trying to search the deep depth and riches of who our God is. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, and we praise Him for it. We don't want a God that we can completely understand. Because if we do, He's not that big. He's not that powerful. And I have problems that I need help. And I don't want someone that can make sense to me. Sometimes I just need someone who is all powerful, whose thoughts are not my thoughts, that can just make sense for me. Beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. Be aware that when life doesn't seem to be making sense sometimes, God might be doing a work. Remember all those miracles in the Bible that we love to think about? I love to try to put myself in the scene and think how I'd react. Right here in this part, you got 4,000 people who need to eat. Jesus says, hey, go give them some bread. You really think the disciples were like, oh, great, Jesus told us to break out some bread, let's do it. I would have probably been like this. There's a lot of people here, and it looks like only about the first six are going to get food. That's going to cause some problems. But I guess I should pass it out anyway. There's no way they were rationally thinking that this many loaves and this much fish is going to feed 4,000 people. But like every miracle, when it doesn't look like it's about to work, it makes God look that much better when it does. That's what God likes to do. He likes to take the weak people that shouldn't have any say in something, that should look like they have no power, and do a tremendous work with them. I love the story of the Israelites at the Red Sea. Their backs are against the wall. They've seen all these miracles. It looks like the Lord has saved them. And they can just hear the footsteps of Pharaoh's army coming after them. And all they see is a very rational, logical thing. We can't cross this part. It's a sea. There's about a million of us. We're stuck. We're dead. And God does a miracle and parts the Red Sea. Be very weary of being so rational that you don't let God work. So here, he's warning his disciples, beware of hypocrisy. Beware of being so rational. And they are thinking the whole time, man, we ran out of bread. We ran out of bread. And that's where three things that I found in my own life that need to be done, imperative for every Christian. Continue to perceive. Continue to understand. Continue to remember. Remember, that's what the Lord says here in verse 8. O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember? In Mark, during this story, in chapter 8, he says, do you not yet perceive? Do you not yet perceive? So I want to take time to spend on these three things that Christians should be doing. Perceiving, understanding, and remembering. And if we can accomplish those things in our lives, then maybe when something like this happens in our lives, we will understand the spiritual implications instead of just wondering about what the bread is. So let's look at perception. The word perceive there means to exercise the mind. It's to look for the spiritual. They obviously are not doing that at this time. I'm always amazed when I think, and we sing the song, right? As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. A song that David wrote. Do you ever wonder why that thought came into his head? Why is he out in the woods, sees a deer lapping up some water, and automatically he thinks, wow, that's just like my soul longing after the Lord. Is that how you think when you see things in nature? When you see things in people's lives? Do you perceive the spiritual? I am constantly trying to find the spiritual lessons in the day by day. Constantly. Don't get to the point, listen, I love the fact that the Lord calls himself a door, a shepherd. I mean, you can't get more common than that. The Lord is sitting them right where they're at. Daily things. We break bread and wine. In every culture, there's bread and wine. It's one of the most simplest things out there. And yet, do you perceive? Do you exercise your mind to look for the spiritual? Do we do that? Are we constantly looking for the spiritual? When I was driving up here, we had like 6 inches of snow, and so as we're driving to Jersey, my kids are upset because there's no snow on the ground. And I was looking around the highway, and I noticed that obviously there's no snow on the hills, and then there's always those little clumps of snow, right? Why? Because there's a clump of trees, and the shade protects that snow from the sunlight. And it doesn't melt right away, right? And so you could have tons of barren grass, and then this one part in the shade, there's still snow. And you know, as I'm driving, I'm thinking about this message, I'm thinking, man, how true is that? That there's shade in some people's lives that don't let the light hit and melt it away so that you can see the grass. And I started to think of those verses, but men rather love darkness rather than light. And how we need the light of the world to expose, and we need that light to shine. And sometimes we're in the shade, and it stays cold. And you can just take the parallel where you want. Now, obviously, there's times we can try to look at something spiritual and it really doesn't match up. And so we need to be careful. But my goodness, I love thinking, especially us with children and young people, we should constantly be bringing up the Lord and His principles. Constantly bringing up a verse that applies to a situation. All the time. We need to apply God's Word and His principles to the daily things that happen in our lives. And so that it reminds us, yes, let's perceive. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5 is talking about King David, because I think King David did really well at this. It says verse 12, so David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. The word knew there is perceived. So I think the King James says it. So David perceived that the Lord had established him as king over Israel. Do you know what? Again, we read that story sometimes and I go, well, of course, you know, David knows God, all that stuff. You know how easy it'd be for David to say, I got myself here? I'm the one that beat Goliath. I didn't see no miracle happen. No angels came down. Right? I'm the one that's fought the battles. I'm the one that's had victory in battles. I'm the one that was smart enough to politically do this, this, and this. David can very easily, as a man, say, I got myself to this point. But David instead perceives. He takes a moment in his life. He's recognized as king. And he sits there and goes, you know what? Let me think about this. I perceive, I know, I'm king because he has established me here. He gets the credit. That's what I perceive. It's from him. That's why I'm king. What about us in our own lives? How did you get here? Sometimes we just need to stop and think. How'd you get here to this point in your life? If there's points in your life that you don't necessarily enjoy, is it because you didn't follow his principles? The points that you do enjoy, is it because you followed his principles? You need to understand and perceive why we are where we are. What got us here to this point? And evaluate. There's way, we all say life goes by too quick. It constantly happens. And in this busy culture, there's times you need to just stop 5, 10, 20 minutes and say, where am I at? Exercise your mind. Perceive where you're at as a household, as an individual, as a person who comes to this fellowship. Say, where am I at? Where am I at? The next thing he's saying is to understand. Don't you understand? Listen, I teach special ed, as was mentioned. I'm a teacher in New Haven. Teach special ed. So any teacher might tell you the hardest part about teaching a child to read is the comprehension piece. Not being able to just say the words on the paper. That you actually have to understand what they're reading. And so it's a big struggle. Some of my students, they can easily now say the words and they'll be able to phonetically read what's on the page. And as soon as I say, okay, tell me why the character did that, they have no idea. And they will argue with me saying, Mr. Clifford, I read it. You can't say I did a bad job. And I try to argue back saying, if you don't get the story, who cares? You know, the reason people like stories is because they understand what happened. The hero won. The weakling got to become strong. The bad guy died. That's why they like the story. If you don't get that part and you just read the words, what's the point of reading? And so the lawyer is saying, make sure you comprehend. You understand my principles. You don't just read about them. And I find in the church today, we are so satisfied with just reading our Bible and saying, I did it. And not having a clue what it means. And then we wonder why we don't feel the power of God in our lives. Or why doesn't my family seem to work? Why does it seem like I don't have peace in my life? I've been reading my chapter a day. But you never took time to understand it. You never took time to sit back and try to get into it. And you'll talk to anyone who is one of those mature believers. My goodness, when you start that road of really trying to understand it, you can spend a week or two in one sentence. Two sentences. You go, oh man, this Bible is deep. This is a little too deep. And we praise the Lord that it's that deep. But we need to be those who understand why we do what we do and why God made these principles for us to follow. Not just because it says it. He wants you to understand why he's doing it. There's too many people that don't understand the phase of life they're in, They just heard about being a parent, or they heard about being a grandparent. They've heard about kids leaving the home. They've heard about being a teenager. But they never sit there and try to understand what God wants for them in that stage. It just life happens, and we hope it happens okay. Or at your church, I'm amazed. Maybe it's just a thing of me and my personality, that people will do something in their church, like break bread or have Wednesday night this, that, and they have no idea why the church does it. They just go, that's what we do there. And they never once take the time to say why the church has done that. Do you know why you break bread here at 9:15 every day? Every Sunday? I don't know, every day, maybe. Do you understand some of the principles that are here in this assembly? Why are they there? And listen, sometimes when you go down that road, you will find tradition. That's okay. But my goodness, don't go somewhere once a week for the rest of your lives and not know why you go there. Except for the fact that someone told you Christians go to church. And you see other Christians going to church, so you figure, I got to do that. Because if that's the extent of why you come here, believe me, you will miss about 90% of what is happening here. You have to understand why you do what you do. Why do you come here? Listen, there's another passage here of when the disciples are being called. Turn to John chapter 1 for me. How would we practically try to improve in our understanding? John chapter 1 verse 35 says this. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and he remained with them that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. Listen, here's the scene. These guys are disciples of John the Baptist. John the Baptist says, "No, here's the one you want to follow." And so they're kind of following the Lord from behind. And the Lord says, "Listen, what do you want? You're kind of following me here. What do you want?" And they call him teacher. They call him rabbi. And they say, "Listen, where are you staying?" You know what that shows me? They understood by calling him teacher that he had the answers and that they needed to learn something. Right? If you call someone teacher and you want to go be with them, you understand that you need to learn something. And that teacher has the answers. Do you notice how he responds? I love the way he responds here. "Where are you staying?" He doesn't give him the place. He doesn't teach him right there. He goes, "Hey, why don't you come and see? Why don't you come and see?" And I have found over and over in my life, and as much as I, as my sinful nature might not like it, that God wants people to actively pursue him. So many times we sit around waiting for the phone call, have someone say, "I want to come over to your house and teach you the Bible." Or someone waiting to say, "Listen, we got the best speaker. You come out to this church this Sunday and you'll be blessed." All the time making us try to just be force-fed the word. When the Lord is constantly saying, "I want you to come and see me. Come get me. I'm not going to sit here and give you every little answer. I want you to pursue me. Come get me. Come get me." And if you want to understand Scripture, believe me, it is an amazing, absolute, incredible journey. And it will be at the point where the only one that will give you the answers is Him. And as important as the assembly is, as important as other believers are, there are things that in your life you will only wrestle with you and the Lord. And if you don't have that type of relationship where it's just between you and Him and you need other people to give you answers or you need a church to give you other answers, you will not come to the depth of understanding that He wants you to come to. Lord Jesus says, come and see. Come and get me. Come be with me. Remember Revelation? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm trying to come in and have dinner with you. It's up to you if you let me in. There's so many times where problems come up in our lives or hard scriptures coming up in our lives. And the very first thing we do is say, all right, let's go call someone at church. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. But I'm saying, but make Him your first. Go to the Lord with your stuff. You don't understand something in Scripture? Take the extra 10 minutes and say, Lord, I trust that You can teach me. I want You to teach me, Lord. I want to understand. I want to understand. You know what I love about this? As you keep reading the next verses, you know what they say? Hey, they get Simon Peter and they go, we found Him. We found the Messiah. We got what we were looking for. He said, come and see. We went and we got our answers. We got our answers. Do not live this Christian walk where you don't understand things and you get upset because someone didn't explain it to you. Go get the answers yourself. There's a whole beautiful cloud of witnesses that have gone through before us, men and women of the faith, that it was not easy for them to live it out, but they clung to their Savior and He answered them. He answered them. Understand why you're a Christian. Understand why He has given you principles to live by. The servant is borrower to the lender. It's not like a little, hey, Christians shouldn't borrow money, you know, watch out for debt so we don't. There's a principle behind it. Why does He say it? Why does He ask you to remember Him in the breaking of bread? Why did He set it up that way? There's reasoning behind the principle. Our job is to figure out why. Why did God say it? Why does He want us to do it this way? Don't just do it because you feel obligated. Find out why. Find out why. Last thing here is remember. Do you still not remember? Oh, I wanted to share one more thing. That is true. In Proverbs 17, I wanted to give you a proverb, some wisdom there from God's Word. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 27. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. There's another part that says this, anxiety in a man's heart causes depression. So when you're anxious about life, you don't have answers, all that stuff causes you to be depressed. A man of understanding has a calm spirit. Do you know what helps those who go through the crazy trial, some of the things that I can't even comprehend, and they come out crying, but they still have that sense of peace? They understand their Savior. They understand. They understand in some ways how He loves, how He cares. They understand that there's a reality of going to heaven. Anxious people, and this is myself included, we can be depressed because we're running around going, I don't know the answers. I'm anxious. I don't know what's going to happen next. And you live in fear. Don't live in fear. It says He did not give a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Get the answers so that it might go well with you. When you understand God's principles, there's a calmness to it all, no matter what life throws at you. That's what they mean when they say He is a rock and a fortress, one I can lean on. That's what they mean. They've come to understand it. They've come to understand it. Finally, the Lord here says, do you still not remember? Do you still not remember? I mean, these guys have now seen 5,000 people fed and 4,000 people fed, and they still don't remember the miracle that just happened. How many times do we do that? How many times? Listen, my prayer life, When I sit there and talk to the Lord and I am reminded of what He has actually done in my life, it gets to the point where you go, you know what, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't even be praying about it right now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I have forgotten over and over how I went before You begging and pleading and You answered me. And now I'm in the same spot and somehow I don't have the faith that says You'll come through again. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. Have you ever been there where you are sitting there in a moment of crisis in your faith and then the Spirit brings to mind, listen, we've been here before. Was I faithful then? And we forget over and over what the Lord has done for us. We remember all the things that He has done for us. All the things He will do. All His precious promises. We remember the stories of our faith and your faith. That's why we talk about our faith. That's why we explain to people and say, listen to what the Lord has done for me. So that we might be encouraged and remember that we serve a God that wants us to succeed. There's no one in your life that wants you to succeed more at this spiritual walk than the Lord Himself. He is your biggest advocate. He wants you to be like Him. Would we remember His words and His principles and how He's worked in our lives? You know, sometimes I wish that we as a church could get together just to remember Him. Oh, that's right, we do. We do at 9:15. There's a reason why He said, remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. You don't like the service, it's too quiet, all that stuff. I get that. Wrestle with that with the Lord, but do this. Have a time where you just sit back and remember. You take an hour and you sit and remember, because we are a forgetful people. We can't remember anything, it seems. We can't. That's why you'll see people who love the breaking of bread, because they understand how forgetful they are. And it comes to the point where they need to meet at 9:15. They don't go out of obligation. They need to meet because they need that time to just sit back and think and remember. Remember the Lord. Because Monday through Saturday, they forgot a lot. And we would be foolish to think we don't forget that much when there's stories over and over from Genesis to Revelation of people experiencing miracles and signs and wonders and then forgetting the next day. Remember how long it took the Jews after they crossed the Red Sea to make the golden calf? They say 6 months. 6 months. They saw plagues that no one has ever seen. They heard crazy defying cries of every single house where the firstborn dead. They were walking, they were afraid, they had Pharaoh's army coming, they saw a Dead Sea open up. Moses goes up on a mountain, and within a couple months they go, let's make another god. Give me some gold. You really think you're better than them? I mean, honestly, I'm trying to say it in love. Do we really think we're not like that? Do we really think that? The Bible is filled with people who saw the Lord and then forgot about it very quickly. Very quickly. I want to give you a practical thing. I'll end with this. How do we simply remember the Lord? Obviously, you should come to church. You can remember Him at 9:15. You can remember Him. We remember Him now, right? We're speaking of Him. But there's something about giving yourself reminders. Reminders. If you walk into my house, as soon as you walk in up on the wall, there's a big verse that says, cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Now, some people might sit there and go, oh, nice little witness, nice little testimony. When people come to the house, they got to see Scripture. You know you're a Christian home, or, ooh, good parenting. You know, maybe your kids see there's verses on the wall. Kim and I put that there because we need to be reminded every day. Every day, I need to be reminded that I have called myself and I am a follower of Christ. So when I walk through the door, coming home from work, I want to see something that reminds me I'm a Christian. And that's what should be in our homes. You do it however practical way you want. We got verses on the wall, got some verses in the back. Whatever you need to do. Remember the Jews where he said, put these things around your neck, put this on the doorpost, so when your children ask, what's going on? Give yourself practical reminders, day in, day out, that remind you that you have made a proclamation in your life. You have said, if you are a born-again believer, I am a follower of Christ. And that changes the way I live, that changes the way I think, it changes the way I act. It changes me. I cannot do what I want to do. I have been bought with a price. I have to remember I have given my life to Him. I've given my life to Him. I need reminders. I need reminders of that. How many of us forget to spend time with our Savior, knowing that when we do spend time with our Savior, it's the best time of the week. We'll sit there and read the Bible for 2-3 weeks straight, and we can't believe how good we feel. Can't believe how just life works. And then we go a week or two without reading the Bible and go, what's wrong? Amazing. How many times we need to learn that lesson. Remember who you are. You put something in your home. You put something in your car. You do whatever it takes to remind yourself that you're a believer. Because we're forgetful people. And so if we as believers can do this, if we can start to perceive and look for the spiritual, if we can not just read God's Word, but look in the depth of it and understand it, and if we can just remember who He is and how faithful He's been to us and the promises we've made to Him, then maybe when the Lord wants to teach us something, we don't think of it as, oh, we forgot the bread. But maybe we can hear His voice and say, I know what you're saying, Lord. I need to watch out for hypocrisy and for rationalism. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank You so much that, Lord, as we think of You and how powerful and mighty You are and how You did it, You were perfect and You deserve all the credit and all the glory, and yet, even after we mess up over and over again and live our own little selfish ways, that You would be one that says, all right, come be with Me again. Lord, why do You want to be with us so bad? What do You get out of it? It seems like we get everything and You get nothing. Oh, if we could only be like You. We could walk like You and talk like You, act the way You do. Lord, help us. Help this assembly here, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of You, that we would be those that want to be like You, and that we would want to be learners and not just wait for someone to teach us, but we would be active and we would do whatever it takes to learn of You, that we would remember who You are, and that we would see the spiritual. Help us to understand this world is not our home. There's a whole spiritual realm of reality. There's angels and demons and You and principalities and, Lord, there's so much going on that we don't even think about at times. Thank You so much that You fix it all one day. That You are the God of recompense. When You sit on that white horse, I don't have to necessarily be afraid of You, but I can be proud that I'm on Your side. We thank You for it. In Your name, amen.